Welcome to Corgi Confident. My name's Alyssa. I am the self-proclaimed Corgi Queen. Let's talk corgis. All right. Hello and welcome everyone to Wiggle Butt Wednesday, where we talk about different corgi tips that I have for you. So today is going to be a highly requested episode on puppy training. And I was thinking about doing this episode, and the only two dogs of my dogs that I have owned as puppies are Maslow and Quill. And so Maslow as a puppy was much different than Quill as a puppy. Maslow as a puppy caught on really quickly. He loved to train, and he was very eager to hear the next command and really wanted to know how to make me happy as his owner and his handler. Quill as a puppy, he was still smart, because corgis in general are still smart, but I was expecting a Maslow puppy, again. That's not what I got. Although I do think Quill is smart, he's not as smart as Maslow is. I'm sorry, Quill, if you're hearing this, I still love you very much. And he definitely took longer to learn some basic puppy things than Maslow did, that's for sure. And I remember having Quill and being like, I don't understand, Maslow caught on to this so quickly. Like, why aren't you getting it? So, without further ado, let's talk about corgi puppies and different tips I have for people who own corgi puppies or are about to own corgi puppies. The biggest one that every puppy owner worries about is potty training. And so with potty training, my tip that I always tell people is to take them outside every like 15 to 30 minutes after they eat or drink and let them go to the bathroom or see if they have to go to the bathroom. And then when they do go to the bathroom outside, reward them. I feel like that's the one that like everyone really knows about. Take them outside. When they do their thing, reward them. And yay, you have a party. Feel like most people really know that. In general, you're just going to take your puppy outside frequently. If you notice your puppy sniffing a lot, take them outside. Like I mentioned, after they eat or drink, take them outside. You can't do it more. You can't do it too much. Just take them outside frequently. One, they're not potty trained yet. And two, their bladders are just the size of like little peas. Like they can't hold anything. So just take them outside frequently. I don't punish. I think there's a lot of that old school mentality of the dog pees on the carpet, you take the dog's nose and you rub it into the pee spot on the carpet and you're like, no, don't do that. There's been a lot more new research out that dogs don't really understand what you're saying. They don't understand that method. So it's not working. They don't understand that. It's not actually helping your cause of potty training. Honestly, it's just taking them out frequently and rewarding when they do go outside. Now, one thing that did particularly help me with Maslow as a puppy, not so much with Quill, just because he was following what the other dogs were doing, but with Maslow as a puppy, because he was my solo dog when I had him as a puppy, I got him those potty bells, and you can get them on Amazon, you can get them at a pet store, like they're sold all over the place, but they're the ones that you hang on the door, and the dog rings the bells to signal that it has to go outside to potty. And so we got that for him, and what I would do is I would ring the bells first before I open the door for him, and then I'd open the door and he'd go outside, and I'd do that over and over, ring the bells a little bit, open the door, let him outside. And again, I just did it over and over. Anytime we went outside, even if it wasn't to potty necessarily, if it was just going, we were just going outside and playing, I just ring the bells every time, wait a second, open the door, then we go outside. And then I increased that a little bit more and I tried to get him to paw at the bells to go outside. So I would have him as in Maslow, kind of either lightly paw or lightly nose boop it. It didn't have to make a huge noise at first. I wasn't asking him to like intensely ring the bells. I was just asking him to acknowledge that the bells were there at first. And he caught on to that pretty quickly. But he's also Maslow and he catches on to everything pretty quickly. And his reward for doing that behavior was he got to go outside. And I find out what a lot of people have problems with the potty bells is they start bringing treats into it. So they'll teach their dog, ring the bells, and then you get a treat. Ring the bells, you get a treat. Ring the bells, you get a treat. And they kind of have a problem bridging that gap that bells means outside. So I didn't use treats with Maslow at all. His reward for ringing the bells was going outside. That was his reward. And by not having food in it at all, I think it really did help him pair that behavior of bells equal outside. And he still knows that behavior. I don't use the potty bells now. I think they helped a lot with him as a puppy just to help give him a really strong signal that he wanted to go outside. He still knows them. No, if I put them on that door, he'll still ring them like crazy, but we don't actively use them anymore because I just don't really need to. And he can hold his bladder better, and he's fine waiting a little bit until I'm actually able to let him outside. And he doesn't have accidents in the house. Like, he's fine. But I do think the potty bells as a puppy helped give him a more strong signal for his little corgi brain to understand that this means that. And so after he was just kind of like lightly tapping at the bells and he got to go outside, then I would wait and wait him out a little bit more and eventually ask for more and more of it, you know, maybe make it a little bit louder. And, you know, maybe he has to ring it a little bit more. And then again, his reward would be to go outside. And so I just increased the criteria from there, and he just had to, that's what he had to do, is make it very obvious that he was ringing these bells in order to let me know, like, hey, I need to potty. I did notice he started taking advantage of the bells, and that's why I took them away, because he didn't really need them at that point. He was old enough where he could hold his bladder and he didn't need it. And we were more having the issue of marking in the house, which will be in a separate episode. But for potty training, he didn't need the bells anymore. He was taking advantage of them. He would ring the bells anytime he just wanted to go run outside. And that's it. So I don't use them anymore, mainly for that reason, because he takes advantage of it. It doesn't actually mean go outside to potty anymore. It just means, hey, open this door, I want outside. So I think potty training is the most common question that I get for the puppy training. Like, SOS, help me with my puppy, what do I do? My next little tip on this puppy training episode is going to be about obedience. And I'm going to focus more on puppy classes. I think people always think, like, I need to do a puppy class. But there are some people out there that think they don't need to do it. And here's the thing. As far as, like, what they teach in puppy classes, what they teach you to teach the dog, because that's what dog training is. It's just human teaching, honestly. They teach you how to train the dog to sit, to down, to loose leash walk, to stay. We worked a lot with stay on distractions when Maslow was in puppy class. Really all things that a lot of people are like, why do I need to pay $100+ for classes? I can just teach my dog this at home. And you're not wrong. You could probably teach a lot of those same concepts at home. And I'm not saying you can't, and I'm not saying going to a puppy class will be better and they'll teach you how to train those concepts better. In the age of YouTube and social media and just internet in general, there are so many dog training tutorials out there. So yeah, you could probably go home and train your dog how to do all these things and not spend that $100+ or whatever. You could, and I'm not saying you can't. But one reason I like puppy class is because not only are you learning all those things that I previously mentioned, you're learning those things with your dog around other dogs. So you're actually teaching your dog how to behave and focus on you while there are other dogs around, which is can be really hard for puppies. Honestly, really hard for adult dogs. Like some dogs, like it's just hard for them to focus in general when there's another dog around or another human around. So puppy class, yes, you're going to learn your sits, you're going to learn your downs, but there's other benefits to it. And I definitely think that that's one of them. The other advantage, at least the puppy classes that I'm experienced in, is at the end, again, at least for the classes that I had gone to and helped with, they let the dogs interact with each other and have a little playtime. And again, you're probably thinking like, well, I can just take my dogs to the dog park, or, you know, I can just have some friends over. My friends have dogs. Like, I can just do it. Why would I spend $100 for it? I'm going to tell you why. If you go to a training class that is taught by a good trainer, there are bad trainers out there, so just make sure you do your research. But if you go to a training class If you go to a training class that is taught by a good trainer, they are going to have those puppy playtimes, and you're going to learn about dog behavior. Like, your dogs are going to be able to learn to play appropriately and what's okay to do appropriately. And then you're also going to learn what they're doing that's appropriate and inappropriate. There's a couple people that are like, oh, my dog growled. What does that growl mean? Are they aggressive? And sometimes it's just a playful growl. And people wouldn't know that if someone didn't tell them. So if you're going to this puppy class, you get to have that hands-on experience of knowing what your dog is doing right and wrong, and what is appropriate and what's not. Something else that you'll see a lot is corrections. And corrections from dogs can sound scary, and a lot of people are yelling at their dogs or telling their dogs, no, don't correct, because it can sound bad. Lexi is one of those dogs where her corrections sound awful, but she's not being awful. She's just correcting this dog like, hey, I didn't like that. And you learn that corrections are appropriate, and you're appropriate. Apparently words are hard. And you learn that, like, what corrections maybe aren't appropriate or what reactions aren't appropriate. So again, yes, you're going to learn your sits, your downs, your stays, all that fun obedience stuff. But you're also going to have some socialization with other dogs, other puppies, and you know it's going to be appropriate. You know it's going to be the right kind of interaction with dogs and people. And just going off of that fact, because I had previously mentioned, like, well, why would I need to do that when I can take my dog to a dog park? I don't take my dogs to dog parks. You have untrained, unreliable dogs at dog parks. And I'm sorry, that gets me really scared to bring a puppy into that situation with people who don't know their dogs, aren't watching their dogs, aren't controlling their dogs. There are so many bad stories at, like, from dog parks of dogs getting attacked and it ruins their confidence. There's been other stories of, like, service dogs having bad interactions and then they can't do service dog work anymore. And it's just a risk I don't think you need to take. Like, I just don't think, I don't think it's worth the risk, because you don't know what kind of dog is going to be at that dog park. You don't know what kind of human is going to be at that dog park. Like, I'm seen as the quote-unquote crazy one because I'm keeping eagle eyes on my dogs and I'm watching them like a hawk. making sure that I know exactly what they're doing and keeping them in check if they're doing something appropriate or not. And I'm watching all their interactions with the other dogs because I want to make sure that they are appropriate reactions. And that being said, yes, I still go to dog parks, but I go to dog parks for corgi meetups. And we go to slow dog parks. Like, we go to small ones where we know there's not going to be a lot of people. And I have no problem advocating for my dogs. Not everyone is the same way. So yes, I go to them, but I don't frequently go to them. It is a specific event. I maybe go once every 3 months, maybe. And again, it's a dog park that I know is going to be empty. And the dogs that are going with us are actually mostly all from the same breeder that I got all three of mine. And so I know their dogs and I know that they're all going to interact appropriately. And I know that, honestly, I know that they trust that I am there to make sure that all dogs interact appropriately. And I know that they're not going to be mad at Lexi for correcting or something like that because they know she sounds a lot worse than what's actually happening. So in general, if you are going to a dog park, just be wary. Not only is it about the people and the dogs there, but dog parks aren't clean. So definitely if you're going to go, do not take a puppy before they are fully vaccinated. They're not clean. They're not. You don't know if a dog that was sick went into that dog park and maybe your dog's going to get sick. I don't think it's worth it. I really don't. But moving on, I want to move on more to some other obedience things, and specifically what I stressed with Maslow as a puppy, 2.5-3 years ago when I was raising him as a puppy, and what I have noticed has helped him immensely with who he is today. And my biggest one would be his stay command. His stay command is extremely strong. And that just came from me being super curious and trying to push his limits. But I know I can put him in a stay. I can run around him. That is really hard for dogs to do. I can throw toys around him. That is really hard. I can leave him with a plate of chicken in front of him. I can throw treats around him. I can set stuff on top of him. I can leave the room. And that boy will not break his stay. And I have noticed that has helped him so much at his dog sports. So in agility, for example, I will put him in a stay in front of a tunnel. He loves tunnels, by the way. And run to the opposite side or run where I need to be or be as far away as a lead out in front of him to the next obstacle as I need to be. And I know he is not going to leave that stay until I say break. I can have a door open, front door wide open. And if I tell him stay in the house and I can bring stuff in and out of the house, if I'm unloading things, bringing in a package, maybe bringing in pizza or something when people actually deliver to your door and you had people interaction, thank you, COVID. And he is not going to break that stay. He's not. So work on those stays as puppies. And just for fun, like putting him in a stay has helped with a lot of fun pictures. So if you're into taking cute pictures of your dog, work on their stays. Work on them staying in the position that you told them for long periods of time. Definitely the stay command if you have a puppy. I would really emphasize that. Another command that I emphasized with him as a puppy was the leave it command that I notice is still strong. And so I can drop something in the kitchen, say leave it, and he's not even going to think about coming over. I can put a plate of chicken literally in front of his face and say leave it, and he's not coming over. I can leave the like my dinner out on the coffee table, say leave the room, I know I'm not going to find him up there eating my dinner. I don't have to worry about that. And maybe not everyone wants a strong leave it like that. You know, I liked to push Maslow's limits and been like, hey, what can you do? That's just kind of how I am as a person. I just push the limits anyways. So I wanted to push the limits with him, and that's how I got this great leave it behavior. But it's also helpful if you take medication, for example. If you drop one of your pills, then you want to be able to say leave it so your dog doesn't get that medication, and it could save their life. If you drop an onion on the ground, you want to be able to say leave it. If you drop chocolate, you want to be able to say leave it and know reliably that they're not going to come and get it. So that was one that I definitely worked on. Other ones that I worked really strongly on was drop it, which is for self-explanatory reasons. If he has something in his mouth, I know I can say drop it and he will drop it right there. Again, for it's a safety reason. If he grabs something that he's not supposed to have, drop it, leave it, and I can grab it and take it away. And I don't do it. I don't like yell at him about it or anything. I don't make it like some big thing, like he's going to get in trouble. Like, drop it, leave it. It's just to cut it. Like, excuse me, drop it. No, leave it. And that's it. That's all you got to do. So this has been part one of my puppy training tips that pertain to, well, training. In the next episode, next week, we're going to get into puppy, like, behavior, like, and desensitization that's going to help you with your puppy. But this has been puppy training. Again, next week, we will get into puppy desensitization for our Wiggle Butt Wednesday. So thank you guys for listening. I'll talk to you next week. Corgi Confident is for educational purposes only. Please contact a vet, trainer, groomer, or other pet professional in your area for help. Want more Corgi content? Make sure to follow Maslow the Trick Corgi on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And if you have a question, you can email us at corgiconfidentpodcast@gmail.com. This is the Corgi Queen, signing off.